The Healthcare Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Members, please turn on your microphones when responding to roll call. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila.
Here.
Vice Chair Yarbrough.
Here.
Representatives Altman.
Here.
Barnaby.
Here.
Ranking Member Brown.
Here.
Representatives Driscoll. Duran.
Here.
Harding. Here. Robinson. Excused. Salzman.
Here.
Saroy excused. Skidmore.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Trabuzzi.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Healthcare Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. Members, today, just on cue. Members, today we have eight general bills on our agenda. Before we begin, I do want to show House Bill 1235, TP'd. So we will have now seven general bills that we will hear. And we will begin first with Representative Byrd. Representative Byrd, you're recognized to present House Bill 837.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. Happy Friday to everyone. For your consideration today, I have House Bill 837 regarding harm to children. Florida law currently requires children to be buckled into a child safety seat while in a motor vehicle. Florida law also prohibits leaving a child unattended in a motor vehicle. To protect the child from any associated abuse or neglect, this bill would require that in cases where a physician substantiates that a violation of either of these aforementioned laws caused the death. A Department of Health Child Protection team will be called in to do a medical evaluation and determine whether there has been child abuse or neglect. Because in many cases, what physicians, emergency room physicians find is that where a child is harmed in a motor vehicle, that there's other abuse or neglect taking place in the home to either themselves or the sibling. The bill also requires all reports of child abuse or neglect made by an emergency room physician to be referred to a child protection team. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, having explained the bill, members, since there are no amendments, we're now in questions. Ranking Member Brown, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Byrd, are we requiring the doctor to make this, but are we requiring him to make this report?
Representative Byrd, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you for the question. So the treating physician will be the one who assesses whether or not they believe that the child's injuries are due to a violation of one of the two laws referenced in the statute, and that it would be the physician that makes the report to the Department of Health.
Follow up.
But I'm just trying to be clear: will they be required?
Well,
you're recognized.
Once they've done the evaluation. And the evaluation is done, there was, of course, due to not putting the child in a seatbelt that took place, child's arm is broken or whatever, what have you, would they be required to report that to DCF?
You're recognized.
For an investigation?
You're recognized.
Yes.
Follow up? No? Representative Driscoll, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, Chair Byrd. Good to see you today. Thank you for this bill that looks out for our children. I had a couple of questions, though, in terms of one thing that was concerning to me. I know DCF already has such a heavy workload, and our investigators oftentimes are asked to do so much more with less. You know, could you tell us if you know where DCF is on this and, you know, what thoughts you have about the workload that this may add to our DCF investigators?
Representative Byrd, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, and thank you for the question. So, yes, I mean, I've run this bill several years before, and they have expressed that concern. Obviously, they do have a heavy workload, and it will be some extra work for them. But you know, at the end of the day, it's you know, we're trying to look out for, you know, children who have been injured and are in an emergency room and trying to find out the reason. This is not to try to criminalize activity. It's to really try to find out what's going on in the home. Do the parents or the guardians not realize that the child needs to be, you know, in a seatbelt or in a car seat? Do they not have the financial resources? So, you know, it will be additional workload. There's no question about that. But I think, you know, looking out for the best interests of the children, that they'll be able to accommodate that.
Members, questions of the sponsor? Are there additional questions of the sponsor? Seeing no more questions, members, we're now in public testimony. No public testimony. So members, we're in debate. Is there debate? Representative Driscoll, in debate, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you, Chair Byrd, for this bill that's looking out for Florida's children's. I do have those concerns about DCF and workload, and maybe that's something that as the bill hopefully, you know, moves forward, that's something that you can continue talking to DCF about. I'm up on the bill today. You know, I think it's a net positive in terms of looking out for kids, but I do have that concern about the fiscal impact of DCF and what we're going to do to make sure that we are giving our investigators the tools that they need to make sure that the intent of your bill is carried out to the fullest extent. But I do thank you for the bill today, and I look forward to voting up on it.
Additional debate, members. Debate? Seeing no more debate, Representative Byrd, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for your questions and support of the bill. And I would like to say that the AAA and the state pediatricians also are in support. They didn't get their cards, by the deadline, so they did want me to pass along their support. And with that, I ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Having closed on the bill, Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representative Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representative Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson? Excuse. Salzman?
Yes.
Saroy? Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. And members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Byrd. Members, we're going to turn to Leader DeBose. Leader DeBose, you're recognized to present House Bill 1373.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for hearing House Bill 1373, Rare Disease Advisory Council. Here in the United States, a rare disease is any condition that nationally affects fewer than 200,000 people. There may be as many as 7,000 rare diseases impacting the lives of 25 to 30 million Americans and their families. It's important to note here that although the individual diseases may be rare, the total number of people with rare diseases is large. Stakeholders such as the National Organization for Rare Disease Disorders, a patient advocacy organization dedicated to individuals with rare disease, and the organization that serves them is working to establish a rare disease advisory council in every state. Currently, 16 states have successfully established rare disease advisory council, but Florida is not one of them. And under this bill, the rare disease advisory council will be established adjunct to the Florida Department of Health for the purpose of providing recommendations on ways to improve the health outcomes for individuals residing in the state who have rare disease. The council will be made up of 20 members from various state agencies, subject matter experts, and other stakeholders. Members are appointed by the governor, president of the Senate, and speaker of the House to a 4-year term. Department of Health will provide staff and administrative support. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Having explained the bill, and there being no amendments, members, we're now questions of the sponsor. Are there questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions, we're in public testimony. And in public testimony, we have Marnie George with the Florida chapter, American College of Cardiology, waving in support. And we have Stephen Nguyen with the Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, also waiving in support. Okay, so members, we're now, that concludes public testimony. We're now in debate. In debate. Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, Leader DeBose, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is a good bill that has bipartisan support and will benefit all Floridians. People living in Florida with a rare disease find information to be scarce, resources limited, and a platform to gather data non-existent. Delays in diagnosis, misdiagnosis, and lack of treatment options are far too common. This council will work to help solve these problems. Listen, this bill is very personal to me because I lost my mother in 2009 to a rare disease. And the fact that it was very hard for her, there was no platform, there was no one there, there was no group to come together. And the interesting thing is she was misdiagnosed for 18 years. And I remember towards the end, you know, we found a doctor down at Cleveland Clinic who was familiar with what my mom was dealing with, but it was towards the end. The other part that this advisory council will provide is a platform for folks with rare disease to come together. My mom had a friend who would come visit her. She was a teacher, and she would talk with her. And after my mom passed, I remember I was on the commission, and back in Fort Lauderdale, I was writing a letter to my Congress folks and encouraging them to provide money for research and education. And I got a call from her, and she said, "You'll never guess what happened to me. I just left the doctor, and I've been diagnosed with scleroderma, and that's what I lost my mom to." And it just sent chills, and here they are kind of interacting and not really knowing. And so something like this has so many levels of importance that we can provide for Floridians here. So I share that with you because it's a little bit more than just statistics. I actually lived through it, and had this been in place, I know it would have made the world a difference for my mom, her friends, and me personally. So with that, I ask for your favorable support.
Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson?
All
aspects. Salzman?
Yes.
Saroy? Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. And members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably. Thank you, Leader DeBose.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee.
Representative Honchowski, you're recognized to present House Bill 1447.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair Avila, Vice Chair Yarbrough, Ranking Member Brown, and members of the committee for giving me the opportunity to present House Bill 1447. This bill is based on recommendations in the third interim report of the 20th statewide grand jury impaneled by the governor after the February 14th, 2018 shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. The grand jury's third interim report highlighted deficiencies in funding, leadership, and services related to mental health care throughout Florida and called on the legislature to appoint a commission to specifically examine the provision of mental health services in the state of Florida. This bill creates that commission on mental health and substance abuse. It requires the Department of Children and Families to provide administrative and staff support services to the commission, provides purpose, provides membership, term limits, meetings, and duties of the commission, requires the commission to submit a report of its findings and recommendations to the legislature and governor, and provides for future repeal unless saved by the legislature through reenactment, provides an effective date And according to the updated staff analysis, the funding can be absorbed by the current DCF budget. And that, Chair, is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Having explained the bill, members, there are no amendments, so we're in questions. Questions of the sponsor. Representative Guillermo Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative, for your leadership on this issue. My question about the bill is, when we establish the Commission on Mental Health and Substance Abuse, is this going to be specific to our schools and to education, or is this going to be overall on those topics, examining those issues?
You're recognized.
Chair, thank you. Thank you, Rep. Smith, for the question. I really appreciate it. If you look on page 2 of the bill, the commission is composed of 19 members, and they are from every aspect of mental health and substance abuse services, everywhere from managing care entities. And so we really wanted to make a very comprehensive commission, and not just with people who theoretically work in this space, but people who are actually dealing with day-to-day issues in this area, to make sure that the findings and the recommendations would be incredibly practical and easy to implement in order for there to be a solid purpose behind this commission.
Members, questions? Questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor? Seeing no more questions, we're in public testimony. And we have Alejandro Gonzalez from the United Way of Broward County, who waves in support. Okay, so members, that concludes public testimony. We're now in debate. Is there a debate? Representative Driscoll, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Hunchofsky, for this very, very good bill. This is such a great example of how, when we work together in a bipartisan way, we can make major impact in our state, and I applaud you, as Rep. Smith said, for your leadership on this issue. I mean, this bill responds to a very pressing need that we have in this state. And it's been interesting in my own efforts in trying to work in the space of police reform, having conversations with law enforcement. They've let me know just about the need that they see for more mental health services and just how there's a lack of coordination overall across the state. And so your bill actually feels like an answer to prayer. So thank you for bringing this forward. It's my honor to vote up on it today, and I encourage all of our colleagues to do the same. Thank you.
Representative Harding, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative, for this good bill. You know, it was, I was sitting here thinking back, I think it was early November you and I met last year, and this was the first bill you talked about, you know, this idea and what you wanted to do, and it's great to see you here presenting on it, and I love your heart and what you're doing, and I'm proud to support it, so thank you.
Representative Altman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I just want to thank the sponsor of the bill, and to emphasize just how significant this piece of legislation is. It's an outgrowth of the Margie Stoneman Douglas High School disaster, and an outgrowth of that incredible, I agree with Representative Driscoll, incredible bipartisan effort that we had 2 weeks left in session, less than what we even have now, to pull together the compromise and the appropriation and the and the legislation is remarkable, and this is a part of that. And I just tell you, our leadership and this membership really performed when we really needed to. So really appreciate this. And, you know, we're still working hard and diligently. We're not finished, and this is evidence of that.
Members, further debate. Further debate. Representative Guillermo Smith, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you again, Representative Hunchofsky, for your leadership on this issue. So I know that the creation of the Commission on Mental Health and Substance Abuse, as presented in your bill, is not necessarily taking a look at gun violence. But of course, you're proposing that we create this as a result of the shooting in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas high school in 2018. I just want to comment because I know that often when we talk about mental health in the conversation around gun violence, It's often about how mental health and support and funding for mental health services and access is something that we can do as a preventative measure. I don't necessarily want to challenge that only because it is a very complicated issue. But one thing that I will mention in support of your bill is, in my experience in my community, after the shooting at Pulse Nightclub, which you know claimed the lives of 49 people in 2016, mental health and the inefficiencies of our state mental health system were exposed in the aftermath of the shooting. They were exposed because the population that was disproportionately impacted by this tragedy at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando were substantially low income. Many of them did not have access to healthcare services. Many more of them didn't have access to mental health services at all. And so from my perspective and the perspective of my community, the need to examine closely how our mental health services are provided in the state, how the multiple agencies work together, how the managing entities work together, was really, really prioritized in the aftermath of that shooting. You know, you don't know how bad the mental health services are in the state until something like this happens in your community. I can't tell you how many times our office received phone calls from Pulse moms who were Baker acted because it was the only way to get the mental health services. They were moms who lost sons or daughters, and they were triggered by news footage of the shooting, by police lights, by recordings of the shooter. And because of the terrible state of mental health in Florida and the services that we don't provide, Baker acting some of these individuals was the only way to get them access to care. So I applaud you for your work. This is something that we really need to dive deep into and prioritize. And I also want to applaud Chair Avila for bringing this bill forward through this committee, and I urge members to please support the bill. Thank you.
Members, is there a debate? Further debate? I'll just take a quick minute. Wanted to thank all the members for those remarks. Thank you, Representative Guillermo Smith, for those remarks. And you know, I think we, regardless of party, I think we all agree that there's certainly a need to try to improve and to try to really provide more resources to go into substance abuse and mental health initiatives. And certainly a bill like this, you know, moves us in that direction. As well as, you know, the financial aspect of it, you know, this committee and the House in general, in our budget, we've dedicated a total of $1.3 billion in resources to mental health and substance abuse, which is an increase of over $170 million from the previous year. So certainly this is something that is very important to me, as well as I know it's important to you. And to the Florida House, and I want to thank you know, Representative Honchowski for her leadership on this issue, and for bringing this to you know, bringing this to us, and hopefully we'll see it, you know, make its way to the end zone. So thank you for bringing it. Thank you for your leadership on this issue. With that, you're recognized to close.
As I begin my close, I would be remiss if I didn't thank you, Chair Avila, for allowing this bill to be heard, for working with me on my concerns. I would, and making sure that this could be as good as it can be, that this bill could be as good as it can be. I also have to thank Brian Clark staff, because wouldn't be here without his help and support either. So I have to thank both of you for that. And this is very personal to me, so I appreciate it more than you know. And just to address some of the comments, thank you all. This is a bipartisan issue. I've been in many situations where if an audience is asked, do you know anybody who's suffering from mental illness or substance abuse, every single hand will go up. There is no family, there is no community that isn't touched by this. And in Florida, we have an issue that the efficiency and the talking to each other and the coordination isn't the best it could be. And the purpose of this commission is to make that better. This came out of the grand jury report when they were looking at school safety and things like that. And then they stumbled upon the mental health problem. And in our community, we saw mental health after the shooting. Much like Rep. Smith talked about the trauma, our community, just like Rep. Smith's community, received VOCA funding, which helped to establish some triage for trauma. And also we received a funding from the county on that. But it was still wasn't enough. There's still a stigma attached. There is still finding where to go and having that kind of communication so that people know how to get the best care and that they're not just entering under a certain funding stream, but that it's a very patient-focused system. So I just want to say thank you very much for all your kind words. Thank you for all your support, Rep. Altman in the previous committee. And with that, I close and I say thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Representative. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson? Salzman?
Yes.
Saroy? Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tribuzzi?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. And members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative. Representative Silvers, you're recognized to present House Bill 1233. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair and Committee. HB 1233, genetic counseling. Excuse me, I lost my voice last night. Genetic counseling creates state licensure for master's level genetic counselors who are board certified by the American Board of Genetic Counseling. It revises the term healthcare practitioner to include licensed genetic counselors. It provides licensure requirements, renewal requirements, and grounds for disciplinary action, and it codifies a scope of services for genetic counselors. It also requires the Department of Health to adopt by rule continuing education requirements. That is the bill.
Okay, having explained the bill, I believe we have an amendment. You're recognized to present your amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment provides the Department of Health with one OPS position to handle the workload associated with regulating and licensing genetic counselors. While the department requested an additional three FTE, one OPS position will suffice, given there are only 127 genetic counselors in Florida. The economic benefits of this bill are expected to outweigh the fiscal impact, given that this bill will increase in-state job opportunities for an in-demand STEM profession, and also given that better access to trained genetic counselors has been proven to significantly reduce healthcare costs for hospitals and out-of-pocket costs for patients. That's the amendment.
Having explained the amendment, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, we're in public testimony on the amendment. No public testimony on the amendment. Members, we're in debate on the amendment. We're in debate. Okay, seeing no debate, Representative Silvers, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive.
Having waived close on the amendment, all those in favor of the adoption of the amendment say yay.
Yay.
All those against say no. Show that amendment adopted. Members, we're back on the bill. Are there questions? Questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor. Seeing no questions, we're now in public testimony on the bill. And we have Lauren Jackson with the Florida Association of Genetic Counselors. waving in support. Thank you, ma'am. And we have Amy, please forgive me, Amy Jennison, all right, with the Florida Association of Genetic Counselors.
Hi, thank you so much, Chair and members, for hearing this bill. Genetic counselors are uniquely trained. We have a master's degree that covers both molecular and human genetics, as well as psychosocial counseling to help families cope and deal with rare disorders that are genetic in nature. So basically what we do is we help aid in the diagnostic odyssey of these patients and provide not only the surveillance recommendations, but work with geneticists and other doctors to help get these patients the care that they need. However, Florida has one of the lowest genetic counselor workforces in the country, and we are at the bottom of the 10 most populous states. Without licensure, we cannot bill for our services, and that creates, we can't have competitive job opportunities and things like that in Florida that some other states with licensure are allowed to have. Licensure could help us to address this by allowing us to bill for the services that we provide, get reimbursed for our work, and it can also create job opportunities across the state for genetic counselors. That will provide access for more genetic counselors for more patients, particularly those in rural or low socioeconomic statuses who otherwise can't afford genetic counseling or don't have access to genetic counselors, which is a critical part of patient care for patients with these rare disorders. So helping to support this bill would really help us to prepare and to allow these patients to have adequate access to the care that they need. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, members, we're now in debate. That concludes public testimony. We're now in debate. Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Silvers, you're recognized to close on your bill.
In the interest of time, I'll waive.
Having waived close, Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson? Salzman?
Yes.
Saroy? Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. Members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Silvers.
Thank you very much.
Representative Valdez, you are recognized to present House Bill 1093. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, Chair Avila, Vice Chair Yarbrough, and Ranking Member Brown, and committee members. Thank you very much for hearing today House Bill 1093. And this bill came about as a result of my partnership with the Ought to Be a Law program at Sumner High School in Hillsborough County Public Schools. So I want to give a special shout out to Mr. Parada and his class who are back home watching this committee hearing today. They approached me with this bill after hearing too many stories about children in foster care facing abusive situations and simply not knowing what they should do about it or what they could do. So what this bill does is to seek to ensure that children who are placed in shelter or foster care are informed of their rights and options for instances of abuse, neglect, and abandonment. Too many children placed in foster care are unaware of what options and mechanisms they have to report instances of such behavior, and in many cases don't even know what types of actions they should actually be reported. And this bill seeks to ensure that the children know their options. This bill requires that caseworkers or other appropriate agency staff provide verbal and written instructions to a child entering shelter or foster care to educate the child on the process for identifying and reporting abuse, neglect, and abandonment, and review that information with the child every 6 months and upon each placement change. Each child must be given the opportunity to ask questions about his or her rights to be free from abuse, neglect, or abandonment, and the process for identifying such and reporting such. The bill states that the instruction and material should be age-appropriate and presented in a manner in which the child can understand, using words and phrases that that is sufficient in age and understanding, for example, right? So case managers or other staff must document in court reports and case notes that the child did receive this information. The bill also states that school boards are authorized and encouraged to establish these types of programs or communications for students age 5 through 18. And Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Having explained the bill and there being no amendments, members, we're now on questions. Questions of the sponsor. Questions of the sponsor. Seeing no questions, is there public testimony on this bill? There being no public testimony, we're now in debate. Members, we're in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Valdez, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to thank you and Chair Altman for hearing the bill earlier on and for the opportunity for it to be heard today. And with that, I ask you for your favorable support. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila.
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough.
Yes.
Representatives Altman.
Yes.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown.
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll.
Yes.
Duran.
Yes.
Harding. Robinson. Salzman.
Yes.
Saroy. Skidmore.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Tribuzzi.
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. Members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Safe travels home. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Valdez. Members, we're now going to go to Representative Barnaby. Representative Barnaby will be presenting House Bill 397 on behalf of Representative DeSigli. Representative, you're recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is HB 397, Cardiovascular Emergency Protocols and Training. Only 1 in 10 victims of a heart attack outside of a hospital environment survive. But with delivery of CPR by bystanders, chances of survival increases by 2 to 3 times. Time is of the essence to save these patients' lives and ensuring each EMS region has a plan in place for patient transportation can additionally help guarantee patients end up at a facility equipped to provide needed emergency care. HB 397 seeks to improve heart attack survival rates in Florida in 2 ways. First, it adds a requirement for 911 dispatchers to be trained in telecommunicator CPR so they may provide instant instructions to bystanders to begin CPR until first responders arrive on site. Secondly, the bill additionally tasks EMS providers with creating an informed triage plan for heart attack patients based upon the availability of level 1 and level 2 adult cardiac centers in their region. This policy mirrors current statute for stroke patients, which was passed unanimously into law in 2004 and updated unanimously again in 2019. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Barnaby. Members, before we do have an amendment, so Representative Barnaby, can you present the amendment? It is barcode 495555.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment clarifies that CPR training is required to be completed by 911 PSTs. The amendment also removes the requirement that DOH monitor adherence to this training, which removes the fiscal impact of the bill. That's the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Barnaby. Members, questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, we're now in public testimony on the amendment. There being no public testimony on the amendment, we're now in debate on the amendment. Is there debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Barnaby, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the bill sponsor, Chairman DeSiglia, for giving me the opportunity to represent him and to present this good bill.
Having closed on the amendment, all those in favor of the adoption of the amendment say yay.
Yay. Yay.
All those against say no. And show that amendment adopted. Members, we're back on the bill as amended. Are there questions? Are there questions on the bill? Are there questions on the bill? Seeing no questions on the bill, we're now in public testimony on the bill. And we have Marnie George with the Florida chapter of American College of Cardiology, waving in support. And we have Tiffany McCaskill Henderson with the American Heart Association, waving in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, we're now in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Barnaby, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close, Mr. Chairman.
Having waved close, Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll? Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson? Salzman?
Yes.
Saroy? Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. Members, by your vote, please show the bill passes. Also show the bill reported favorably. Okay, members, now we go to our ranking member, Representative Brown. You are recognized to present House Bill 183.
Thank you, Chair Avila, Chair Yarbrough, Vice Chair Yarbrough, and members. This bill provides additional statutory footing for the Office of Minority Health and Health Equity. By outlining the focus areas of the Office of Minority Health and Health Equity and requiring data and information to be displayed on their website. The goal of the Office of Minority Health and Health Equity is to develop and promote the statewide implementation of policies, programs, and practices to increase health equity in the state. And so the statutory areas of focus are to gather and analyze data on access and quality of healthcare for racial and minority populations, education and dissemination of that information, support minority health liaisons at the county level, conduct projects that will increase health equity, increase cultural competency through use of community health workers, develop synergistic initiatives between programs, promote accessibility programs for individuals with limited proficiency in English, including persons with disabilities. Department of Health also must maintain information that is updated annually on its website, which is data on health disparities and issues affecting minority populations. Resources available to minority populations and providers. Contact info for these minority health liaisons at the county level. Also, it's asking for the Office of Minority Health and Health Equity to serve as liaisons to federal offices of minority health and regional health operations. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ranking Member Brown. Members, there being no amendments, we're now in questions. Are there questions of the sponsor? Are there questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions, we're now in public testimony. Public testimony, we have Ida Escamani, and she is waving in support. And Ida Escamani, Florida Rising, waving in support. Ida. Yeah. Thank you, Representative Guillermo Smith. That concludes public testimony. Members, we're now in debate. Is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate on the bill, Ranking Member Brown, you are recognized to close.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Having waved close on the bill, Sabrina, can you please call the roll?
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran.
Yes.
Harding.
Yes.
Robinson. Salzman.
Yes.
Saroy. Skidmore.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Trabuzzi.
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. And members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Ranking Member Brown. Members, before we go, you know, I want to wish everyone first and foremost a great weekend coming up. Safe travels home. I also wanted to say this may be our last meeting. The meeting for Monday morning has been canceled. But since this may be, you know, our last meeting for this session, I did want to thank all of you for certainly for your engagement, for your questions, you know, for really your you know, your openness throughout this entire process. And to me, I really appreciate each and every one of you, all of your hard work on the behalf of all of our constituents of the state of Florida. I also wanted to say, you know, as we've done all session, all committee weeks, you know, I think we really conducted ourselves in a very extremely professional manner. We've all, you know, tried to certainly work, done everything possible to work with each other, and I believe that we have done that. Certainly, if you look at our last agenda, you know, it's obviously an extremely bipartisan agenda. So I did want to thank all of you from, you know, whether you're, you know, Republican or Democrat, you're a member of the House, and we are each representing our constituents and the state of Florida. So I do want to thank you, because I know that a lot of you have poured your heart and soul into this process, into this committee. So I do want to thank you for your efforts. And with that being said, I believe Vice Chair Yarbrough, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to thank you for your leadership. We appreciate you being at the helm of this committee. Also wanted to mention to Brian, too, and his budget team. We have an all-star budget team in the House, but in particular the healthcare space. So we, I know every other member has no trouble understanding anything, but I know they're very helpful to me, so I appreciate them very much. And, Mr. Chairman, again, thank you for your leadership. And we have, you know, difficult waters right now that we're trying to navigate, especially in the health space with what we're facing. But thank you for your leadership. So just wanted to offer that to you as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Yarbrough. And certainly thank you to the staff, to Sabrina, to Brian Clark, to our healthcare probe staff. You know, they're constantly putting in long, long hours, certainly making sure that, you know, that we have everything in the proper posture, and that we're prepared moving forward. And their days are probably going to get longer as we continue to move forward and as we go into conference. So I do want to thank them ahead of time for all of their hard work, and certainly for the time and dedication that they're putting into this process. You know, I also want to thank the Ranking Member Brown, for her leadership on a whole host of issues. Certainly you see that within the budget. You see that certainly with this bill that you just passed out of this subcommittee. You've been extremely, extremely open, and then you've also been extremely honest always, and a strong advocate. So I do appreciate, I want to make sure that you know that I appreciate your leadership, both in the subcommittee as well as in the Florida House. It's, for me, it's always a pleasure to serve with you and with all of you on this subcommittee. So thank you very much. And again, members, as we continue to move forward, as always, my door is always open. I'm always accessible. So please feel free to reach out. I look forward to continuing to work with you as we go into conference and move forward. With that, Representative Duran moves that we rise without objection. This subcommittee is adjourned.